you guys. It's the movie retrospective time. Now, this one that we're doing today, this is actually going to be, hopefully, I don't know if it's going to be a bonus one because if you're on our Patreon, you will know that we were supposed to actually do Old Boy this week. But for whatever reason, like as soon as it came up in the poll, like it wasn't on any streaming services anymore. It used to be on Shudder and now it's inexplicably gone. So I ordered the DVD, but I didn't know if it would show up in time, for to record. So I was like, well, let's just back up. We'll do one as a backup just in case. And then if we can, watch it, we can watch
DVDs
Old
usually
Boy
take
then.
a couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I ordered the place I ordered
Yeah.
from is only like in Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh.
So I was hoping that it would be quick,
Yeah,
but we
about
usually
a
have,
week.
we usually have to record these like,
Yeah.
a few days prior. So, you know what I mean? So I just said, well, let's do Audrey Rose because Shudder just added it not too long ago. We just watched it a couple days ago, and it's a movie that I saw a shit ton of times when I was growing up.
I saw the trailers for this as a kid, like in the theaters and in the drive-ins. I think it was, what year was this again?
It came out in
Seven,
1977.
77. So it
Yeah.
would have been mostly theaters, I think. I remember the trailer scaring the shit out of me. I don't know why. Just,
There was something like kind of creepy about
yeah.
it.
There was something, it had the voiceover for it, the 77 voiceover, and you and me being 8 years old, I really didn't know what they were talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you're
It
saying.
was just I didn't know what reincarnation was. You know what I mean?
Because that's
And
what this is about, you guys.
right, and I just saw some little girl just fucking screaming and doing bad shit and a fucking spooky voiceover, and I was like, oh, monster movie.
Oh, shit,
Oh,
I
monster
don't
movie.
want
Whoa.
to say
And
that.
this was coming on the back of damn The Exorcist and stuff. So
Yeah.
when you watch this movie, you can it's very plain to see that it's riding on, it's trying to be like The Exorcist and maybe a little bit like The Omen. I'm not sure if The Omen 1 was out at this time or not,
Yeah,
but
it was. The Omen
it
came out in
was. Okay.
1976,
So
so it came
this
out a
was
year before
part
this.
of that wave of fucking
The
movies.
paranormal kind of
Paranormal
70s. Yeah,
70s
like haunted houses,
shit.
possession. There was like all that kind of stuff.
And so somebody said, well, hey, you know what? There hasn't been a movie about reincarnation. And there was evidently a book out. Just like there was with The Exorcist and Amityville Horror and all that. You know, they would go to the books for inspiration and make it a movie. But the thing is, those men, come on, reincarnation? That's not as scary as fucking demonic possession and
Well,
fucking
yeah.
haunting and shit like that. So it's already a little bit of a stretch. They're trying to make this shit compete with The Exorcist. They did a good job, but still, it's reincarnation.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's like this movie does have some creepy elements to it, and I
Yeah.
remember it creeping me out when I was a kid. I actually read the book. The book came out in 1975, the novel. It was written by Frank DeFelitta, who also wrote The Entity,
Yeah.
which was based on a true story.
Good
This
movie.
one is not so much based on a specific true story. I think that Frank DeFelitta said that he based it, I guess he was reading a book of supposedly real reincarnation stories, and he kind of loosely based this story on a couple of those. So it's sort of supposed to be based on like some quote unquote nonfiction that he wrote. But and the book, he also wrote the screenplay for this. Now, I read the book a very long time ago because, like I said, I was super into all that like creepy shit. Like I loved haunted house shit. I loved all the poltergeist, like real poltergeist stories and real reincarnation and real weird shit type of stuff. So I pretty much burned through like all. I read Amityville Horror, I read The Exorcist, I read this, I Rosemary's Baby, I read all that kind of shit. So I read this when I was probably a young teenager or a preteen. And it did kind of creep me out. The movie is almost identical to the book, which, like I said, makes sense because the same guy like wrote the screenplay and everything. I think the only thing the book goes more into is one of the characters kind of like where they learned the reincarnation jazz, like them going over to India and all that kind of stuff, which they kind of skate over in the movie a little bit, but in the book they go a lot more into it. So this was actually directed by Robert Wise. Now, if you don't know who Robert Wise is, I'm most familiar with him because he directed probably one of my favorite horror movies of all time, The Haunting from 1963. He also directed Star Trek, the motion picture from 1979. And he did some shit back in the fucking 50s too. He did The Day the Earth Stood Still. He did West Side Story. He did Sound of Music. So he's had like Oscars and shit like that.
Yeah, that's another thing is that one good thing about this movie is that if you like The Exorcist and you like The Omen and those classics, you will like this movie. It's not as scary as the other ones, but it is a high budget, well-made movie, good cast, real good acting. It's on par with The Exorcist and The Omen in terms of quality.
Although I
So
don't know if I'd call, because like I said, I remember seeing it a bunch of times when I was a kid, and I remember it being like really creepy and scary and stuff. And it's not, I don't even know, like now, like watching it nowadays as an adult, I don't even know if I would call it a horror movie
no, I don't think it
exactly.
is.
It has some horror elements to
Yeah,
it,
it's a
like
supernatural paranormal movie.
it's a paranormal
Paranormal movie.
supernatural drama, I guess you would call it. I was actually watching a review of it earlier. And the guy said, you know, the kind of recent movie, The Exorcism of Emily Rose, which was kind of, you know, very loosely based on, well, that was based on Annalise Michel, wasn't it? That, okay. So, where they were kind of, where it was kind of based on the true story of like they were trying to prove in a courtroom that this woman was actually possessed by the devil and not that she had. So,
That's the weird thing about
so
this
it's
movie.
kind of like a similar kind of thing to this. It's very strange because it seems like it starts out as sort of like a psychological thriller drama type of thing.
It becomes a court drama.
And then it kind of turns into a courtroom drama.
Yeah,
So
you're
it's
like,
like, it's
wait.
really, really odd.
It is odd.
It's
It
a
is
very odd movie.
odd. But like I was saying, that you hate it tonally and production quality, it was on par with the other greats. You could tell it's not one of the greats because it just didn't have it then. It wasn't quite as compelling as Demonic Possession. It's hard to compete with that.
Well, the premise isn't quite as scary. I
His
mean,
premise is not scary.
reincarnation, I've read like some stories of, I don't believe in it, but I mean, I've read some stories about it that I'm like, ooh, that's creepy. You know what I mean? Like in a way that like where you have a kid and they're saying like creepy shit, like I when did I when I died and all this other, okay, that's creepy. So it is like a little bit of a creepy premise, but like you said, it's not as creepy as the devil,
They try
obviously.
to really make it as creepy as the devil, though. They do. You know what I mean? And it's got, oh, what's his name from the Elephant Man in it and everything, and he helps. What's his name?
Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony
This was
Hopkins.
actually a very, very early role for him. He's very young in this.
So he kind of brings a certain amount of gravitas to this movie. He's a young Hopkins, but that dude was. He's always fucking playing himself in every fucking movie. You can say he's a great actor. That motherfucker's always playing himself, really. I mean, he's got two modes, playing himself or he's playing Hannibal Lecter. That's what
Because
he
we're
does.
hoping he's not really Hannibal Lecter.
But no, he's a good actor. He's a real
He
good
is, yeah.
actor. And he classes up the joint, you know,
Oh,
when he
yeah, big
shows up.
time.
That's what his job is. If you have kind of a second or third rate movie going on, in terms of budget or whatever, you can bring in Anthony Hopkins and he'll class it up a lot. You know, he will. He'll fix it, you know.
He'll fix it. He'll come in here and be like, you know, let me handle this. I'm gonna
He'll give the movie.
smooth over the rough
He'll
edges.
give he gives give the movies credibilities. You know,
Sure.
he'll give a movie credibility. And what's kind of cool is when he first shows up in this movie, they kind of use him a little bit as like a red herring. Is this some kind of fucking pervert stalking this little girl? Did he have some kind of a sexual motive? You know, and the parents are fucking tripping out. And I liked that angle because you're not really sure what the fuck is going on. You know, you're seeing a movie about reincarnation.
Yeah,
So
because that
you
was in the trailer and
safe
on the
to
poster and
assume
everything.
it really is his reincarnated daughter, or at least he believes that. You know what I mean? But the parents don't know that. They don't believe that. They think the dude's just a
Yeah,
perv.
because why would you?
They think the dude's a perv. You know what I mean?
I
But
mean, I could
it's
see
good.
this playing out a lot differently nowadays.
Oh, nowadays you'd get your ass shot off. You'd get your ass shot off, especially in the South.
To be
Fuck it.
honest, I kind of feel like now I'm kind of intrigued by the premise of what if, because like I said, I'm not worried about spoiling the movie because it came out in 1977, for Christ's sake. If you haven't seen it, I'm sorry, but you know what I mean. Get with the program. But you know what I mean? But the thing about it, So the premise of this movie basically is that reincarnation is real. It's almost kind of like trying to convince you that it's real. It's almost kind of like a polemic in that way, which is a little weird. But I'm kind of, now that I'm thinking about it, now I'm kind of intrigued with the premise of what if the, premise of the movie was that reincarnation wasn't real, but this dude actually really believed it, and then they left it kind of ambiguous. It's like, how would you deal with that? Like this one person, like really believing that your kid was their kid, and all this other kind of stuff. Like how that would play out.
Anthony Hopkins got some great scenes in this movie about reincarnation, where he tells his story and he educates you on fucking reincarnation, about his travels all around the world, and then he goes to India to go fucking study from the great Maharishis and or whatever, you know, what did they call him? Do you remember?
Oh shit, I can't even remember
He wasn't a Maharishi. I made that shit up. But
it.
studying from these great fucking spiritual masters who fucking proved to him, you know, that yes. And it almost became like a little bit of a documentary about India there for a bit.
Yeah, they had
When,
some like kind of stock footage there of
yeah,
like some
stock footage
funeral
of India,
pyres and
funeral
stuff
pyres and
and
stuff, you know, trying to trip you out about India. Because, you know, if you were just a regular American
well, back then that was
back in
very
those days,
exotic
you're like,
knowledge.
whoa, India.
Now everybody knows about
We
that kind of
got
shit, though.
Indians living across the street.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like, it's
They got Netflix.
nowadays everybody knows what reincarnation is, but like in the 70s, they kind of had to explain everything paranormal because it was like new to people, I guess. Like, or it was new to like mainstream audiences, I suppose. So, all right. So let's kind of talk about the how the story of this goes. So we have a couple. Very upper middle class. These really nice.
I ain't gonna say that. Those fuckers were filthy rich. Did you
Well,
see
it
where they
seemed
were
like,
living?
yeah, that man, and they lived in
In
Manhattan, for God's
Manhattan, living
sake.
like that. I was calling, but we were both calling bullshit on that.
Well, the dude was like a Madison Avenue like ad executive, which I guess, okay,
Maybe you could do,
you could make a lot of money. And I
I
don't
guess
think it
you
was
could.
quite as expensive in Manhattan. I mean, it was still expensive,
So basically,
obviously.
he's Manhattan's version of
Nowadays, they
Darren
could
Stevens.
probably get 30 mil for that fucking apartment they lived in. Actually, that's a real building, so you could actually look up apartments in there like nowadays and see. We could look it up on Zillow or something and see how much it costs. I'm sure it's at least
That
20 or
was
30 million.
back in
That's a
the
that was a massive place.
that shit was back in the highly centralized economy, where if you worked for a certain film worked for a certain firm, your little shyster ass could make millions of dollars a year just making commercial jingles and shit like that. Not anymore. Nowadays you'd be working on YouTube. That's what
Yeah,
you'd
but
be
it was like
working
this
at.
massive apartment of
Back
like I
then,
don't know if it looks like this anymore, but it had like all one of the things, and it was even kind of a plot point in the movie, was that it has like all these paintings and shit on the ceiling, which was real. They didn't add that to the movie, but this is like a real building. I can't remember what the name of it was. That's like pissed me off. But yeah, so you have this couple, and the dude, John Beck plays the dad, and Marsha Mason plays the mom. It was bugging me the whole time because I know I've seen John Beck in other movies, and I was just like, God damn it, where the fuck have I seen him? And I looked at his IMDb, and he has like this massive fucking list, but I couldn't think of anything. Like, there was nothing on there that I would have been so familiar with that I would have recognized him from. So I don't know. He's been like on a ton of TV shows and shit, and like, over the years. But anyway, so he plays the dad in this, and they this couple have a daughter who's about to turn 11, I think, named Ivy. And she's played by Susan Swift, who I think this was her first role. She didn't really go that much into acting. She was in a couple other things, like, some TV and movie after this, and then went off and did other shit.
And in this point of the movie's really feeling a lot like The Exorcist.
Yeah,
You got
yeah.
the rich couple and they got the daughter. And weird shit's happening.
Yeah, and they're
And
like,
it's
doing family shit and like, planning her birthday and all
You're
this other kind
already
of
going
stuff.
like, man, is this a rip off of The Exorcist? But then the plot thickens.
The plot thickens. So yeah, very shortly into the movie, they start to notice very creepy bearded Anthony Hopkins kind of skulking around.
Looking and peeking in people's windows and shit.
Well, not well, he's not quite peeking in people's
Well, he's
windows.
showing up to her
But he is kind
school
of
and
like
he's
hanging
turning
out in front
around
of
backwards
school.
and
Like I said, you do
wishy-washy.
that nowadays and
You
someone's
could
gonna
get
shoot your
shot.
face off because they're like, why are you even hanging out here? Your kid doesn't even go here. Get away from here, pervert, and then you would have to be like, you know what I mean? They'd have to put you on a registry somewhere. But like, but back in 1977, it was they still thought it was creepy, but it wasn't like call the cops kind of creepy. They did call the cops later, but
They called the cops after they talked to him.
Yeah, because so the thing is, they start noticing the dude, and it's not just him like hanging out by the school or whatever. He's also like kind of following all of them around. Like he's kind of following, like you see the dad like on the bus or the train or whatever, the subway, and you know, he looks behind and there's the fucking dude again. It's like, man, this fucking dude is everywhere. What the fuck? So finally they call the cops, and the cops are like, well, you know, did he hit you? Did he do anything? It's like, you know, he's just standing on the sidewalk. He's not doing anything against the law. You know, they didn't have stalking laws back then in the 70s, in case you didn't know that.
Maybe some states did.
Yeah, I
It's all
kind of,
state.
yeah, I do kind of feel like that's like a newer
Yeah,
kind of shit, though.
things went in and out. You know, those talk shows had a lot to do with like new laws coming. Araldo and
Yeah,
shit.
that's true.
Yeah, that's when people started to really understand what serial killers were.
Yeah, because
Very
really,
early
I mean,
80s.
like I said, people didn't really have a concept of
Yeah.
serial killer until like 70s. Even though
Late
they
70s,
obviously
early 80s.
there were serial killers before that,
Yeah.
like fucking Jack the Ripper and H.H. Holmes and shit like that, but Bell Gunness.
Wasn't in the modern imagination.
Yeah, it just it wasn't really that much of a thing.
I remember the first time I heard about him as a little kid, it sounded like something that was made up. You know what I mean? Like,
Sadly,
no, that
no.
doesn't happen. You know what I mean?
Sadly, no.
But I think adults kind of thought that too. Like that couldn't have happened.
That can't happen.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Little did we know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so finally they, like I said, they go to the cops, and the cops are like, shit, man, we can't really do anything. There's no law that says, you know, dude can't stand on a public street. So, you know, if he hits you, come back to us. So finally, after all this time, this dude's like skulking around, like I said, and then finally he approaches them and he's like, man, you know, I need to talk to you and all this other kind of shit. Now, at first they're reluctant. And a lot of the story too, like a lot of the conflict comes from Marsha Mason's character, the mom, and she kind of Janice is her name, Janice Templeton. And she kind of wants to hear the dude out, or at least she kind of wants to know what the fuck are you doing? Why you keep hanging around like watching my kid? Whereas Bill Templeton, probably he just kind of just wants to punch the dude in the throat, and he's like just sick of hearing about it. But finally they agree, because the dude just will not leave them alone. And they so finally they're like, all right, fine, we'll meet you at this restaurant. Just like, please just tell us what you want. And you know, what the fuck? So they all meet at this restaurant, and in this very, very long scene, probably a longer scene than it needed to be, but Anthony Hopkins says to them that, and so his name's Elliot Hoover in the movie, but I'm just gonna
Yeah.
call him Anthony
It's
Hopkins
easier just call it
because
'cause he's playing himself.
that's who he is. It's
Yeah.
Anthony Hopkins. So he tells this story. He's like, basically, 10, 11 years ago, my wife and my daughter, Audrey Rose, were killed in a horrible car accident. Like the car flipped over and it burned to death,
Yeah, and they showed it
which is
happen.
one of the first things. So I think that's
Yeah.
like the first scene in
First
the
thing they show,
movie.
yeah.
And then like this little girl like at the
They
window
try
with
to
like all
start
the
off with a
fire.
bang, you know what I mean?
Yeah, before they kind of
Yeah.
get into this kind of,
Right.
yeah. So he basically explains that happening. And then he kind of gets into, it takes him a while. He's kind of like beating around a bush a little bit, dancing around the subject or whatever. But basically he's like, yeah, I've been all around the world and I went to India and I studied with this, that, and the other person. And I basically went to these psychics. He says that too, which,
Yeah.
like I said, I'm not sure how good that is for your credibility, but
Yeah.
whatever. He's like, so I had
That
these
was
two
before
psychics.
Psychic Friends Network,
Yeah,
so
before everybody knew that psychics were bullshit.
it hadn't been tarnished yet.
So like, well, some
Yeah.
psychics told you some, that was like some
Yeah.
serious shit, man. It's like, but he
Although
was
I'm gonna clean that up though.
you gotta clean that up.
Yeah, corporate psychics and shit, you know what I mean? And telepsychics is about like televangelists. I do believe that there are people that fucking have I've fucking had, dreamt true, had precognition, fucking of course poltergeist stuff that happened. So that's all related to some people would call psionics. But I think everybody has it to a certain extent or another, some
And I
less than
don't know
others.
if it's necessarily controllable.
No,
I think it just
in
kind
my
of like
experience it
comes
isn't.
and goes like
Yeah.
without any rhyme or reason.
Something having to do with the unconscious. It's an
Yeah.
animal part of you, it's not a rational part of you that's doing it. Which
Because
leads me to believe that could be that animals may have it. We call it instinct.
yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's just like a sharpened instinct is
It's like an
kind of how
instinct. Right.
I think of it. And like maybe some people's instinct is sharper than others.
Yeah. Who knows what whales are doing? I mean, they're communicating across vast distances, but
They
is
could be
there some.
plotting to take over the world
Is
right
there.
now.
Well, no, I mean, is there something kind of like telepathy happening
Yeah.
too, along
Sure.
with those sounds? You know, are those sounds being converted into a mental image inside the mind of that damn whale, like a television signal would? That's some heavy duty shit. You didn't think of that, did you?
Well, I've thought of similar things to that, so.
What if it was just like, yeah, what if it's just a signal like radio?
Yeah.
And he goes in and he's seeing an image in his mind. That'd be weird. Okay,
it would be weird.
Getting off subject.
No, not
Yeah,
you.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so basically he finally gets around to, he's like, these psychics told me that my daughter, Audrey Rose, who was killed when she was 5, is still alive. So that was kind of the big thing where the psychics were referring to her as if she were alive and were very surprised when he told her, when he told them that she was dead. And they were like, no, she's alive and she lives in New York City and she lives in this apartment with paintings on the ceiling. And he said, two separate psychics told me the same thing. And I spent all these years doing all this research and I have determined that your daughter, Ivy, is the reincarnation of my daughter, Audrey Rose. So basically, the rest of the movie is him trying to convince the two of them that Ivy is the reincarnation of his daughter, like pointing out, the shit that the psychic said, pointing out that Ivy was born like pretty much 2 minutes after Audrey Rose was killed in the car accident. And then there's other shit too, like they kind of go into the parents are saying that every time Ivy's birthday rolls around, she starts having night terrors where it seems that she kind of gets up and starts sleepwalking and starts slapping on all the walls and the windows and starts screaming and freaking out. And they can't, they can't like get her to stop doing that. And she just like does it every year and it's getting worse and worse. Now, it so happened they don't really believe him, obviously, because they're just like, whatever, freak, just like get the hell away from our kids. We're calling the cops. But as time goes on, like, because in the movie, Ivy's birthday is approaching and she starts having these night terrors again. And then something happens where she has one of those and she's like running around her room screaming and she touches a window and it's like winter outside or whatever. And her hands burn like on this cold window, which seems to convince the mom, okay, there must be some like supernatural shit going on here. And another thing too is that when Anthony Hopkins comes over and starts calling her Audrey Rose and saying, "Daddy's here, Daddy's here," she calms down like immediately. So the mom becomes convinced that, okay, maybe there's something to this, but the dad is not having it. He just doesn't want to know. He's like this big skeptic, just like in all these kind of paranormal movies, you always have to have like the dude being like, no.
Yeah, but then the wife's a true believer from the from the outset.
Well, she doesn't buy it at first either because
Yeah.
I kind of think she just thinks the dude's a creep.
They always see the ghost first, and
But
then
then I know it's just like every single
and the
episode
dudes
of A Haunting.
are like, you don't know what you saw. Women don't know what they see.
Women don't know how
Women don't
senses
know how they
work.
do.
Women don't know how reality
It's true.
works. It's true. We don't know
Women don't know
anything.
what they're seeing.
I don't even know how I like walk around during the day
Women don't
because
walk.
we don't know how anything
Women don't
works.
know how to walk.
I should just like lay around
Yeah.
like a fucking slug and figure it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's all of this kind of conflict about it, and it's like, Anthony Hopkins keeps coming over like every time she has one of these night terrors, and he seems to be the only one that can fix it. And basically, he tells her, he's like, the reason that she's running around the room like that and that her hands burned on the window and stuff is that's what happened to my daughter. Like, she was trapped in the car and the car caught fire and she burned alive. And, a witness said that they saw the little girl, like, yelling, daddy, 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 like on the window, like while she burned to death, which is pretty horrifying. But yeah, so as the time goes on, it shit starts to kind of ramp up. And at one point, Anthony Hopkins makes the perhaps rather unfortunate decision. He rents an apartment in the same building as them, and he straight up kidnaps Ivy like one night after one of her night terrors. He kind of puts her to bed, and then he's like, "Oop, boop, I'm out," and he takes her. But the stupid thing is like, they find her like immediately because they go down to the doorman and they're like, oh yeah, that dude like totally rented an apartment here like just a couple days ago where he was like setting it up. So they just, obviously the parents like just call the cops and they go up there and they're like, yeah, she's right here. So then they arrest him, obviously, because that's kidnapping. And at that point, it goes into the courtroom drama sort of portion of the film. And after that, so basically they're arguing. The thing about it that's interesting is that in the courtroom, they're actually arguing. They're not arguing over whether Anthony Hopkins actually believes that his daughter is the re is, that Ivy is the reincarnation of his daughter. Which seems like that would be much easier to prove. They're actually trying to prove that she really is the Rish. So they're trying to prove in a courtroom that reincarnation is real.
Yes, it's a bizarre part of the movie.
It is very weird. It's a very strange, like, tonal shift. Yes. Not a tonal shift, not a big time one, but it is kind of like an odd...
When it happens, now that you mentioned the movie The Entity, I really see a lot of The Entity style.
Yeah, same writer.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in here. Because The Entity was like that, too. Started off as them poltergeist raping this woman. Yeah, and then it ended up shifting very quickly, kind of like into a scientific thing. Let's catch this poltergeist.
That's right. I had totally forgotten about that. Yeah.
Yeah, let's catch this poltergeist. And they had a damn fucking big freezing chamber, and they even made like a mock-up of her house.
I know, that was a weird ass movie too. Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it. I think I read that book too.
There was a tonal shift when it went from paranormal into like science.
Yeah,
let's catch the damn ghost.
We're gonna have like a frozen ghost, like a ghost sickle.
Let's freeze it. Yeah, it was pretty, and this one's kind of like that.
It is, now that you mention it.
Yeah,
it does actually go kind of from a sort of like creepy thriller with some paranormal overtones into like a courtroom drama where it seems like they're really scientifically or fringe science
They're trying to convince you, the audience,
that reincarnation is real. So basically they're just like, you know, passionately arguing in the courtroom that it's like, you know, the reincarnation is real.
And you know what else is weird is that I guess it infers that he's trying to argue that the child is his. Is he trying to get custody?
See, this is what's weird to me. It's like, I'm not really...
It was not really that clear, was it?
Well, he was on trial for kidnapping. Okay, so they were basically just trying to get him... They were trying to get him off for the kidnapping charge.
That's right.
He wasn't trying to, like, you know, get custody. He told the parents, he's like, all I want is to, like, be in her life and stuff like that, because she's...
He's got to have rights.
She's technically my daughter, which, like I said, if a dude actually, like, approaches... That's, like, pretty scary. That's, like, a creepy...
It would never happen in real life.
No, I know, but I'm just like, if that, you know, if somebody did come at you like that... Yeah. It's like you would have that person in prison, like, in 5 fucking seconds. But I feel like in the movie... They want you to sympathize with him, even though he's creepy, because, like I said, in the universe of the movie, reincarnation is real, and he's absolutely right that his daughter has been reincarnated as Ivy Templeton. The crazy thing about this, though, I'm not super clear. I'm not, like, an expert on reincarnation or anything, obviously. So I think the whole thing is that he keeps telling the parents, or mostly the mom, because the dad's like, fuck you, I'm not listening to you anymore. I think he even punches him in the face at one point. But he's just kind of like, we have to work together because Andre Rose's soul was taken too soon or something. And then now she's trapped in Ivy's body. And if we don't do something, like, she'll die. I wasn't real clear on that. But then the weird thing about it is that in the last part of the movie, like, after they do the courtroom stuff, and then the judge and everything are like, well, let's hypnotize her, and then we'll take her through past life regression, which was a big thing in the 70s. Like, we'll hypnotize you and then take you back to your previous lives, because people, like, a lot of people believe that stuff. So they do that, and then the hypnotist guy, who's supposed to be, like, the leader in the field or whatever, and he's like, oh, I totally know what I'm doing. It's totally safe. It's fine. You know, the little girl will be totally fine. And he regresses her back to when she was Andre Rose, and she relives the whole fucking accident, and she fucking burns to death. Like, or burns to death or dies of suffocation, or however she died in real life. So she dies in the room, like, where they're being hypnotized, because the hypnotist... He regresses her back to when she was Audrey Rose, but he still keeps calling her Ivy to get her to wake up. And Anthony Hopkins is out in the fucking room being like, she's not Ivy anymore. Call her by her fucking name. And the hypnotist is too dumb to figure that out. So Anthony Hopkins, like, picks up a chair and, like, busts open the glass, because they're all, like, in a, you know, in another room or whatever. Yeah. But then it's, like, too late.
Scientific and shit.
Yeah, so Ivy dies at the end.
Yeah.
And then the weird thing about that is there's this little coda of the movie, right? Where the mom, Marsha Mason, she's, like, writing a letter, because I guess Anthony Hopkins is fucked up back to India because he just wants to hang out with them.
She's gonna talk to her into the spirit realm.
Yeah, and she is like, well, you know, I believe you, and, like, you know, our daughter's soul is free now. And it's like, she gave Ivy's ashes to him, and he's going to scatter them in India so that her soul would be released and she could find like her next body or whatever. And I was like, oh, and now this couple, Marsha Mason and John Beck, are going to like go around the world looking for where their daughter turns up next. It's like that. If that was true, that could slowly turn into a huge clusterfuck for everyone involved. But I didn't really get why. I didn't get why it was dangerous for Ivy to have Audrey, because presumably if Audrey Rose was killed and her soul found another body, like pretty much immediately, why wasn't it just all cool? You know what I mean? Like, why would Ivy have died? But then Ivy died anyway. So I didn't really like when they tried to hypnotize her. So I don't really, but she's free now.
It probably just needed a dramatic end to the damn movie. It's probably
maybe. I don't know. It just seemed like a weird, I'm not real up on reincarnation. So I didn't really know what they were getting at or why, like what would have happened if they hadn't intervened. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
And it did seem like Anthony Hopkins was trying to get custody of the girl because he took her.
I didn't really take that part of the movie seriously. You know what I mean?
Well,
I just took the movie.
The movie takes itself very seriously.
I just took it as kind of like a wannabe horror movie that ended up being more like a courtroom drama with some paranormal stuff in it.
Yeah.
And as far as the mechanisms of how reincarnation works, what they're showing is a very pedestrian concept of how it would work.
Yeah.
I've had NDE and out-of-body experiences and stuff, and Stuart Hameroff will tell you that there are certain things about quantum consciousness to where reincarnation, and he doesn't quite say reincarnation, it's just paranormal stuff that you hear about could be very plausible, that the consciousness, you know, would survive the death of the brain. Because it's quantum entangled particles, and it could re-inhabit another body. All right. The thing is, though, is you're assuming that, I'm going to just call it a soul. When a quantum soul leaves the body, that it, when it reincarnates, it comes back down to continue where it left off in time space. No, I guess you would say the spirit realm is outside of time and space. So the next life might be in the past of the last life. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, like you might be reborn, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're reborn as a human. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're reborn the next day after you died in the last life. You might be reborn, you know, 20,000 BC might be the next life.
Yeah.
Because you're restarting, you're re-entering into the damn time space every time. So you're re-entering time space at the location and time that you choose at that time. It could be in the past or present or future, depending, compared, you know what I mean, in relation to the last life you had.
Yeah,
this
one seems a lot more straightforward in the sense that was one of the things that was,
that it's a linear
brought progression. Yeah, that it was like brought us, you know, because she was born like
two minutes after
the girl died. Yeah,
no, that doesn't jive really with the concept of fucking...
But like I said, I remember a lot of reincarnation stories that came out in the 60s and 70s. Yeah. And it's like, and then
that's folklore.
Well, yeah. And that's kind of what this is based on. I will say
But also the concept that you might remember your past life. You can disprove that by saying you don't remember... Nobody remembers their past lives.
And pretty much every story, and like I said, I don't believe in reincarnation, but it's like every story I've heard about that, where people said, yeah, my kid said this weird thing and they found out that it was a real person that died like before they were born and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, it always seems to fade away once they're over about 5 years old.
Yeah.
They don't remember shit anymore.
Okay. Now you got me into a good subject. My dad told me that when I was a little kid, I would tell stories of me and him on a tractor falling off a damn tractor. But that didn't happen to me and him. It happened to my dad and his dad.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
All right. But he said I remembered it at about 5. But the thing is that didn't necessarily, that's not necessarily supernatural. It could have just been a memory that was inherited genetically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Animals and insects might inherit some memory because they seem to come out and know shit. Without much education, especially insects.
Yeah.
You know? So it might be that humans might be born with like little vestigial memories from their ancestors. I think it might be plausible. But they're written over and erased as you gain your own experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because
which is why people, which is why when you hear people that come up with that kind of reincarnation-y sounding shit, it's always when they're a little kid.
When they're a little kid, yeah.
And like once they're 5 or 6 years old, they don't say weird shit like that anymore.
It's just a memory that was inherited in some way we don't understand.
I find that more, or it could be just be kids saying weird shit.
Kids
say weird shit all the time. Like, they don't mean anything.
My dad thought that shit was weird. He didn't think it was. He thought it might have been paranormal, but then as time went on, he didn't think it was paranormal. He thought the same thing that I just said, that I had somehow inherited a memory.
Yeah.
That's weird when you think about it.
It is pretty
weird. But why animals might do it all the time, but they can't tell us.
Yeah.
You know.
That's true.
You know. So I think that's what it is.
But yeah, so if you haven't seen this, I remember the book being really good. I haven't seen it in a or haven't read it in a really long time. I think there was a sequel to the book. I think that was called For the Love of Audrey Rose or something like that. I think that came out in 1982. I read somewhere, I think it was on Bloody Disgusting or something like that, one of those horror blogs. They said in September of 2019, they were talking about doing a remake of Audrey Rose, which I thought might be kind of interesting. Because like I said, you know, it's similar to The Exorcism of Emily Rose, like where it's like part supernatural shit, part courtroom drama, like we're trying to prove in a court of law like a supernatural thing. So you know, if they took it in that angle, it might be interesting. This is a very strange, I don't know, I have a lot of affection for this movie because I saw it so many times on cable when I was growing up, and I really really liked the book that I read when I was probably, you know, 11 12 years old. And but I would go into it not expecting anything scary, not expecting a horror movie. You can see there's elements of The Exorcist in it, obviously. There's elements of a lot of 70s paranormal type of stuff in it, because that was like a very big thing at the time. But it's kind of like more a drama, but also that's trying to make you believe reincarnation is real. So it's just this very, very odd. One thing I will complain about, it is a little bit too long. I think there's too many scenes of Ivy freaking out and like yelling and whacking at windows with her hands, and then Anthony Hopkins coming over and settling her down. I think they probably could have done like with one less of those scenes, because it seems like there's a lot of that and it gets like repetitive. Also, I saw like another reviewer say that the good drinking game in this would be like every time Anthony Hopkins says Audrey Rose, Audrey Rose, Audrey Rose, like you'd be fucking dead of liver failure before the end of the movie. But I mean, those are like minor quibbles. The little girl in this, a little bit weird looking, which, you know, not her fault, but she did a good job though. Like acting, the acting in this is good, a little bit overwrought, but kind of the way that it was in a lot of those 70s kind of movies. This does take itself seriously. It is trying to make you convince you that reincarnation is real, but it's just a really interesting time capsule of the time period, I think.
If to me, like you said, it's strange tonally.
It is very strange.
It almost feels like a movie that would have been made by a religious cult that believed in reincarnation.
A little bit, yeah.
Trying to get you to believe it.
It does have a little bit of that to it.
And it has a little bit of a, because it almost kind of has a little bit of a documentary feel to it in certain spots. And it's almost kind of like they've shoehorned in some religion into it.
Like yeah, or spirituality spiritual more than propaganda
in a certain way.
It is a little bit like that.
You notice that? Yeah. Okay.
Like it's Eastern like versus Western.
Yeah, it's almost kind of like a movie that Scientology would have made, but you know what I mean about the whole track.
Not as lame as that, though.
Yeah, it's been a lot worse. But
this is actually a good movie.
It was a kind of a movie that maybe Scientology would fantasize about making.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If they had any talent.
If they had any talent. They'd be like, yeah, we need a movie that's kind of like The Exorcist, but it explains to people the whole track and how fucking, you know what I mean? How, you know, you can sign on to a billion-year contract once you join the Sea Org. You'll be reborn many times and come back. You know what I mean? And it'll be great, and it'll compete with The Exorcist. We'll make all kinds of money, and then we'll get a bunch of recruits. It seems like something like that.
A little bit. It definitely does seem like I don't know a lot about Frank DeFelitta as a person. Like I said, I've read some of his books. He's actually a really good writer. You know, the Entity is very good.
But he might believe in reincarnation.
That's the thing. It really does seem to me that he does believe that it's real, or at least he did when this book was written and when this screenplay was written. And he's really trying to convince you. It's like, you know, all this, you know, Western stuff, all skepticism and science, everything. That's kind of like, oh, you're so close-minded. It has a little bit of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, and a little bit of like kind of hippy-dippy, like Eastern religions are way better kind of thing to
it. Well, there's something to be said for that too, because fucking science is nothing but just a constant series of corrections, constantly correcting itself. It is just a tool.
Yeah.
All right. It's wrong. It's always wrong, because as time goes on, find out more shit. So in that way, it was correct. It's just there's not going to be any way with the technology you have now to prove that reincarnation happens, or to prove in these other dimensions, even though science postulates these other dimensions, you know, higher dimensions in physics and shit like that. It's just that you can't access them. That's mathematical stuff that they're doing on paper.
Yeah.
You can't access it. It's in another dimension. It's like pointing to a direction that doesn't exist. Try it.
Yeah.
You can't point to it.
Or describing a color that doesn't
exist. Right. Yeah, you can't. But maybe on paper you can do some math that suggests that there's a bunch of higher dimensions, but I challenge you to send a probe to a higher dimension and get some pictures of it.
Well, it's another dimension.
It's another dimension.
It's just outside of our ken of understanding.
Yeah.
I was just reminded of when we were just talking about that. I was reminded of that very, very funny scene in this during the courtroom drama thing where they, you know, they had their witnesses come forward and like say all this stuff about like reincarnation and whatnot. And then the defense lawyer attorney is just kind of like, that's our case. Like we proved reincarnation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's funny.
Even though like the evidence was a little flimsy, I have to say. But you know what I mean? It's a movie. Yeah, like I said, if you haven't seen this one, it does have kind of a cult following. And if you like kind of 70s movies, like I said, it's a little odd.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as scary as I remembered it being. It's really not scary at all. But it's really kind of an interesting, like I said, it's an interesting film from the time period. It's kind of the same as some of the ones back then, but it also kind of had its own thing going on.
If you haven't seen it, but you like The Exorcist and The Omen and this and that, it fits right in there.
Yeah, you should definitely see that. It's on Shudder at the moment. I think you can probably see it. It might be on Tubi too, now that I'm thinking about it.
It reminds me a little bit of Altered States in a weird way.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah, and like I said, if you liked The Entity, which was the same writer, then you would probably dig this as well. It has like a similar tonal shift, like in the middle. So check it out. Like I said, it's on Shudder, and we'll be back next week for another movie review, and we'll see you later. Bye.